Take your Bibles and turn to chapter 1 of Romans. And boy, I guess we could get the manifestations this morning. They pretty much all said pretty much the same thing about looking to God and trusting God and believing His word, and He'll take care of us and prosper us and protect us and help us. And, you know, that's a pretty cool thing, because when you believe God, you're kind of like a duck. The troubles of the world just kind of roll off your back like water, because you're confident. And then when people freak out, you know, I look and I say, well, they just don't understand God. They don't know God because they're freaking out. You know, God's your sufficiency. God's our strength. It's not Wall Street or the 401k or any all the other stuff. So anyway, I'm going to teach on fear and believing today, because it's been in my brain because we've been watching the class. And to believe positively, you know, and, you know, there's lots of people that have put out stuff about positive thinking, right? But to believe positively really means to believe God's word. That's specifically what it means. God doesn't talk in His word about believing positively or thinking positively. He talks about believing Him. That's what He talks about exclusively. It is nice to have a positive outlook. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a good thing. It's you know, when we believe God's word and we are positive concerning God's word and we believe that way, then it's easy to have a positive outlook, isn't it? And, you know, it's kind of a pain in the neck to be around somebody that's always whining and complaining about stuff and negative about everything. So it's great to have a positive attitude. It's great to speak positively. It's great to do everything. But to believe positively is to believe God's word. And that's where God's power resides, right? You know, sometimes we get into this thing about believing for things. Well, really, we're supposed to believe God. And then as God gives us revelation and direction, then we can believe in for those things. So that's where we receive our deliverance. Anything, absolutely anything that takes us away from the truth and accuracy of God's word will lead to fear and bondage, no matter how good it may appear. Because that's where it's going to lead. So a lot of things in this world that appear to be so wonderful really aren't. They really lead to fear and bondage. I told you to go to Romans chapter 1, didn't I? I should go there. Or you can just ask God for revelation. Okay, verse 16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." The gospel of Christ refers to the gospel concerning Christ, right? It's the gospel concerning Christ, which Paul writes about in the beginning of chapter 1, which is the word of God. You know, we talk about the gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but the gospel of Christ, or the gospel concerning Christ, which is in the church epistles, is what is directly written to us. That's what is written to the church. And it is for... and. So it's, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, or the gospel concerning Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Unto salvation. The word salvation can be used several different ways. If you're not born again, it means it would make you whole. You get born again. You are a person of body and soul, and you become a person of body, soul, and spirit. You become whole. You receive eternal life spirit. But it's the power of salvation in other ways, too. If you were sick or you're in need or anything else, that would be God's deliverance, God's power of salvation. It's the word of God to everyone that does what?
Believes.
Right, everyone that believes. If you don't believe, it doesn't do anything for you. Except maybe the grace of God would intercede for some reason or another. Like probably some of us could relate experiences before we got born again and before we knew the word and how God protected us to get to the place where we would believe. I know I could give you a couple of examples. So it's to everyone that believe it, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, or believing to believing. As it is written, the just shall live by what? Amen. Believing. That's how we are to live. Let's go to Mark chapter 9. So some of the stuff I'm going to read to you today is, I am sure, very familiar, but it's pretty exciting when you read it and think about it. And you know, God's word is never gets old. Never gets old. It's you know, Jesus Christ and God, the same yesterday and forever, right? Yesterday, today, and forever. And God's word never gets old. It's just as vital. It's just as alive. It's just as current today as it was 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago. Just as powerful, just as apt, just as practical. Chapter 9, verse 14, it says, and when he came, Jesus Christ came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed and running to him, saluted him. Pretty cool. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. The word dumb is an unclean spirit. And it says, wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. I don't know if you've ever seen anybody have a seizure, you know, but it's not a pretty sight at all. You know, it just, their body gets taken over and it's uncontrollable and can be very dangerous. And but it's a sad thing to see. So it says here, you know, that the spirit would take him and tear him and foam him, and he would gnash his teeth and pine away, which means he's shrinking away. He's getting, you know, wasting away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answereth him and saith, O faithless or unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer or tolerate or endure you? Bring him unto me. Bring him the child. And after they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. Which means, you know, they sometimes when people have a seizure, they foam at the mouth. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And the word child there is infancy. Of infancy. He's had it, you know, since he was an infant. He's gone into these seizures and had this situation. That's a terrible thing for a parent to go through, isn't it? You know, when you have a child, you want them to be healthy and strong, and when they're not, it's hard. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if, there's a big if, right? He puts the if on, he says, the man said, if thou can help us. Jesus Christ turned it right around. He says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now, all things possible. All things possible within the realm of what? The word of God and the laws of God that are set up in the universe. That's, you know, that's what's possible. All things are possible. Now, you know, there are spiritual laws and there are physical laws, so God can go beyond physical laws, can he? So all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And when Jesus saw the people come running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto them, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. So he got healed, you know, Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ said to the Father, you know, if you can believe, he can be healed. All things are possible. Cool. Let's go to chapter 11. Well, you believe in, how do you believe?
In your heart.
In your heart, right? And you believe, you take action. You literally believe the word of God. Here, Jesus Christ gives us a little instruction on believing. In chapter 11, verse 20, it says, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Now, this is, you know, a couple, the day before, Jesus Christ went up to the fig tree in the beginning of the chapter, and or earlier in the chapter, and he saw that there were no figs, and he cursed the fig tree. So then they went on their way. The next day they came back, going back into Jerusalem, and they saw the fig tree dried up, and they said it was dried from the roots up, which is the opposite of the way trees die. I'm sure if you've seen a tree, usually they die from the top down. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. It's dried up. And Jesus answering said unto him, have faith in God, or have believing in God, or believe God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Wow. So that's instruction on believing, isn't it? You know, you whatever God would reveal to you, either through his word or by revelation, and you believe it and you do not doubt in your heart, you believe, you know, there's not a shadow of a doubt. It's in your heart you believe, then you shall have, or it shall come to pass, whatever you saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Wow, so, you know, when you pray how? With believing, without any doubt in your mind. You have to get rid of that doubt. So, it's in your heart that you believe, and it's without doubt. Now let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs 29. You know, when you think about it, believing is a pretty simple, easy thing, isn't it? You just put the word into your brain and you don't listen to the world and the negatives and everything else. And you just focus on God and you say, okay, this is God's desire. This is God's will. And you just move forward. Chapter 29, verse 25. It says, the fear of man bringeth a what? What's a snare?
A trap,
yeah. This really has to do with how they would snare birds or trap birds. But it's a snare. It's a trap, right? Fear brings a trap. Fear is not a good thing. Fear is a negative thing. Fear is not something that God wants us to have, right? But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be what?
Safe.
So there's the remedy to fear, isn't it? Trusting God. That's the remedy to fear. If you have fear, what do? Trust God. So, you know, we were watching that stupid movie last night. It takes place in 1929, and they're talking, you know, it was right before the stock market crash, supposedly. You know, but if you read about the stock market crash in 1929, people lost their fortunes. They jumped out of windows. I don't know how that solved their problem, but they did, you know. People went through all kinds of crazy stuff because they got fear. They panicked. That's what they called it, a panic, right? But the fear of a man bringeth a snare. But in contrast, whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. I have to say that God has never let me down since I've gotten in the Word. You know, there have been times when I've gotten anxious, you know, just let my mind, you know, get out of hand for a while, but I'd eventually bring it back. But God has never let me down. God has never failed me. God has never in any way not done what he said he would do. Pretty incredible. Trust in the Lord, Jehovah. The word trust means to lean on, have confidence in. Here God shows us how to deal with fear. Let's go to Psalm 31. Just in case you don't believe that. Psalm 31. Verse 13. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. But, verse 14, in contrast, I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. Now, you know, this is a psalm of David, and David said that God was his God. But you know what? He's my father. And that's an even greater thing than him just being my God. He's my father. Incredible. How much do you love people? You know, people in your family, your parents, your brothers and sisters, your children, you know, whoever you love. How much do you care for them? What would you do for them? Well, what about God? You know, isn't he just as good as we are? Or better? I would say, it says that in Luke, doesn't it? Luke 11 talks about, you know, would a father give his son a stone if he asked bread, or would he give him a scorpion if he asked an egg, or a snake if he asked a fish? How much better is your heavenly father? Psalm 34. Psalm 34, verse 4. I sought the Lord. What does it mean to seek the Lord? Yeah, you search for him, right? You call to him. You inquire of him. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from what?
All my fears.
All my fears. Again, there's the remedy for fear, isn't it? I sought the Lord, and he heard me. It says in Peter that the ears of the Lord, figure of speech, condescensio. The Lord, his ears are always open to the prayers of the righteous. Well, who's righteous? We are. When we got born again, when we confessed Jesus as Lord and believed in our heart that God raised him from the dead, it says that by believing, we were made righteous. So if we're righteous and we pray, who hears our prayers? God, our Father. And it says that he will deliver us from our fears. Pretty amazing. Okay, Proverbs chapter 3. Now, you know, sometimes you have a deep-seated fear and you realize it, you know, and it may take a little while to work with your brain, right? But if you get your brain to the place where you trust God and you pray to God, and he'll help you, he'll teach you. He'll show you how to deal with that fear and get rid of it. He will help you, and you will get rid of that fear, because if you trust him, if you seek him, if you look to him, it says he will deliver us from our fears. Chapter 3 of Proverbs, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with what? All thine heart. So it's not a half-hearted trust, is it? It's with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. He'll direct your paths. And he'll direct your path so that you are not caught in the snare. You're not taken into bondage. It's one of the tricks of the world, you know. okay, if you do this for the world, you know, we'll provide this and we'll provide this, but then you ended up where? In bondage. You know, it's amazing if you look back in the, when I was a kid, the Soviet Union, right? Communist country. And the promise from the Bolshevik Revolution was a workers' paradise, and everybody would be equal and everybody would have the same. The problem was that the same everybody had was bondage and impoverishment. They starved to death. And there were a few people at the top in the government, and they had everything, and everybody else had nothing. You know, that's the world. That's the lie. The lie was, well, everybody will be equal. Well, nobody's ever equal, right? We're just not. That's the way it is. You know, we're equal before God. We're equal before God, and he's no respecter of persons. And if you believe, he'll deliver you. You know, you don't have to be a genius to believe God, do you? Matter of fact, sometimes you're better off not being so smart. But, you know, God's no respecter of persons. He's the one that will, you know, take care of us. He's the one that blesses us. And he doesn't have any favorites, does he? We're all his favorites. We're all the apple of his eye. He cares for each and every one of us equal. If he'll do it for you, he'll do it for me. If he'll do it for me, he'll do it for somebody else. He will. Verse 25. You know, we always read verses 5 and 6. Verse 25, be not afraid of sudden fear. What's sudden fear? You know, you get blindsided, right? You know, something happens you're not expecting, and you go, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. You know, so matter what happens, you know, you get hit, you get blindsided by something, just step back. You know, take a deep breath, start speaking in tongues, start praying. Put the word in your brain. Because God's there. He's ready, willing, and able. He saw it coming. And there's a verse in, what is it? Well, I don't know, 46:1, but there's a verse in Corinthians about whatever we're tempted with, God will always give us a way to escape. There's always a way out. Always a way out. He's a very present help in time of trouble. Thank you, Stella. Woohoo! Let's go back to Romans chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified, which could also be translated being made righteous, but being justified by believing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. You know, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, right? We have peace with God. By whom also we have access by faith or believing unto this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We always have access to God. And the peace of God is available to us. You know, when you have fear, do you have peace?
No.
No, you don't. You're anxious. You're worried. You're pacing back and forth. You're, you know, oh, this is going to happen, and that's going to happen, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know what? The peace of God transcends that. When you have the peace of God, you can deal with anything. You know, it's the peace of God. Well, fear and peace do not cohabitate. You know, they're mutually exclusive. When you have the peace of God, you have no fear. When you have fear, you have no peace of God. Pretty simple. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. You know, I remember back when I first got married to my wife, and we worked for the ministry and ran a branch. And didn't get any money for doing it, you know, just it was considered to be a volunteer. ran a branch and ran a fellowship and started having kids. And every couple of years we moved. And you know what? You know, at times it was, how are we going to do this? God always supplied a way. You know, God always supplied a way. I always had a job. My kids never missed a meal. Never missed a meal.
That's for sure.
Never, no. Never with, never were without clothes or things that they wanted or, you know. And there were times where if you looked at my income tax statement, you go, how the hell did that work? You know, how did I ever pay the bills? How did it ever come to pass? You know, when Stella got pregnant the first time, and she, did I ever tell you the story? Stella got pregnant, and she was 7 months with Jeffrey, and she got really sick. She had 104 fever, and she started going into labor. This is 1981. So back then, you know, they weren't quite as good with premature babies and so on and so forth. So they put her in the hospital for 5 days. And she kept going into labor, and they kept, you know, getting the temperature down. She'd stop, and then she'd go back. And then she was so distraught one day. She was sitting in this, and she was in a, what do they call it? Well, she was in there, but then she went out, and she was in this room with, like, six beds, right? Six or eight beds in a ward. Today, they don't have wards. So, you know, and there's a girl next to her who's pregnant, and she's smoking in the room, you know, because back in those days. Yeah. So I spent a whole night praying. I stayed up all night praying that God would deliver her. And she's all upset, and she's crying, and this little black nurse comes in and sits down with her and prays with you, right, and ministers to her, and she leaves. And so my wife gets healed, and they gave her some kind of drug that was new, and they said, we think this will help and work, and if it doesn't cause anything weird. It's bizarre. It was a whole thing. Well, when she was going into labor, the doctor comes up to me and he hands me a release. He says, you need to sign this because we may have to take the baby. And I said, I'm not signing that. He goes, what? He was ready to kick me out and, you know, sue me or something. I said, I'm not doing that until God tells me. He looked at me like I was wacky. So anyway, so we're getting ready to leave and go back home. And Stella says to the head nurse or whatever it is we're checking out, she goes, who was that little black nurse that came in to talk to me one night? She was so sweet, I want to thank her. And I go, we don't have any black nurses here. So we just thought, well, that's God sending a messenger, an angel. It was so cool, you know. But God took care of us. So then she has this baby. We have no insurance. So then we get this huge, you know, well, at the time huge. Today it would have been, would have cost what? My house cost, but back then it was like $7,000. It was in Ohio, so it's cheaper. So I go to the hospital and I say, well, you know, we can put you on the special program. How much can you afford to pay? And we won't charge you interest and you just pay monthly. I said, I can afford $50 a month. They said, okay. So I paid it for about 4 years. And then I got a letter and they said, we're wiped.
2 years?
Okay, 2 years. No, it was a little longer than that. But anyway, whatever. It was a number of years, and then they sent me a letter, and they said, we're wiping out your debt. That was great. So God took care of it. Somebody paid it, some, you know, nonprofit, something, and they wiped it off their books. So anyway, that's my story about believing. Okay, God supplies our needs. When we serve God, when we put God first in our lives, when we look to God, God will take care of us. That's all. He'll just take care of us. Okay, chapter 4 of Philippians. Did I tell you that? Verse 9. Is that it? Verse 9? Okay. Where's the verse 6? No, where it says we have the peace of God.
Oh, that's it then.
Oh, verse 7. Yeah, be careful for nothing, verse 6, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And you know, peace of God will keep your hearts and minds. And where do we believe? In the heart. So when we have that peace of God, we don't have fear. We can believe. What a great thing. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Just got to stick with God. What a great God. Chapter 3, verse 14. And above all these things, put on charity, love of God, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Peace of God is what? It's a fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? It's a fruit of the Spirit. We produce peace in our life as we look to God, as we know who we are in Christ, as we manifest Spirit, as we walk according to the Word, we're going to produce peace. It's a fruit of the Spirit, which I was going to go to next. Galatians chapter 5. Just to remind you, I guess. Chapter 5, verse 22 of Galatians. It says, but. Now, the but is in relationship or in contrast to all the junk on the previous chapters about the works of the flesh, which are not positive. They're negative. But it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You know, those are the things we really want in life, you know. Those are the, you know, you could have the biggest, bestest, fanciest house and car and vacations and all the other stuff. But if you didn't have love and joy and peace, what good would it do you? It would be empty. You know, love and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. You know, that's the richness of life. Man, to have peace. You look around in the world, how much peace is there? Not a lot. You know, everybody's stressed. Everybody's freaking out. Everybody is, why? I have eternal life. Whatever happens, I'm going to be with God and Jesus Christ in the heavenlies forever. So I don't really get stressed out over too much. Because God is my sufficiency. God is my strength. And I have the peace of God available to me. His ears are always open to my prayers. You know, there's always going to be challenges in life. There's always going to be negatives to deal with. Well, the key is, how are you going to deal with them? Are you going to deal with them by looking to God, or are you going to deal with them by freaking out, by getting drunk, by going to sleep in depression, by, you know, all the other stupid stuff? What does God say? The way you deal with fear, the way you deal with stress, trust God, right? Trust God with all thy heart, and he shall direct thy paths. Trust God. Rely on God. It's pretty simple. It's not that hard to figure out, okay? So, God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us, for blessing us, for what a great and mighty God you are, and what a faithful and loving God you are, how you never let us down, you never forsake us. And we just got to bang that into our brains and not forget. And we just hold fast to you and your promises, and we thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.